So last year was a year of waiting. And look, here we are. We made it through. Whatever we had going on, whatever things that we've lost, the situations that we found ourselves in, some good, some bad, some indifferent, some all over the place, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. So we also need to be that faithful, right? We need to also live our lives for God and do for others what God has done for us, being there for them, being someone that they can count on, being compassionate, caring, loving, being like Ruth. Ruth. We're going to go to the book of Ruth this morning. Ruth. In fact, the interesting thing, sometimes words and names, they always mean so much to me as I look at the Old Testament or I look throughout Scripture. And Ruth, her name actually meant friend. Right. Not the kind of friend you have on Facebook sometimes, but a real loyal friend, someone who's there through thick and thin. As Jesus even said, that a friend sticks closer than a brother, it says in the book of Proverbs. So that's what Ruth was and is. And so we also want to look at the fact that she was somebody that you would not expect to be someone that God would use in a great, magnificent way. In fact, throughout the scriptures, you rarely see a Bible chapter with a woman's name in it. Ruth, Esther. Does it matter? Each of them, what we see, complement and characterize who God is. And that's why their names were remembered and written down about. Because it was also quite unusual back in the day that women would be the ones to take over and be the ones to help lead, guide, and direct. But many women throughout the scriptures, when you really search through the scriptures, there's a lot of women in there that did an awful lot for a lot of people. And they just don't always get named. But we're going to name Ruth this morning, the friend. Now, the other side of that is, we also know the word ruthless. In fact, you know that when you look up ruthless in the Bible, in the dictionary rather, it says to be without Ruth, having no Ruth. What's a Ruth? Well, here's what the name Ruth means when you look it up in the dictionary. Compassion for the misery of another. Wow. So not only is she a friend, she had the right name, but when we are like Ruth, as opposed to be ruthless, that means we have compassion for the misery of somebody else. When life becomes not about me, myself, and I, that Trinity, it becomes about you, they, and them, right? We care for others more than we care for our self, unless you're ruthless. Oh, okay. So we're going to be full of Ruth, okay? Ruthful. Ruthful is fruitful. There we go. I'll just ad lib to it, right? So what do we know about Ruth? Well, let's look at the story as we see it. It's four short chapters in the Bible. We're not going to go through all four. Many of you already know the story, and I'll kind of, just give you the highlights on it. But I want to cover the most important aspects of it, because all of us want to be like Ruth, right? We want to be ruthful as opposed to ruthless. All right, beautiful. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a man from Bethlehem in Judah left the country because of a severe famine. Now let me begin there to tell you that in the time of judges, there was no king of Israel. In fact, if you go the chapter before, is actually where the book of Judges ends. Bethlehem was not in a good place back then. In fact, the last verse says, in those days, Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. That's always a problem, is it not? So there was nobody to teach them in a king in a godly way how to live their lives. So they did whatever they wanted to do. Most of it was dark and sinful. Just let me leave it right there. So this is the time when there's also a famine in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem actually means house of bread, but they were breadless. Part of the reason is they had turned away from God. These are the same people that God had taken out of Egypt, fed them daily manna all the time, provided for all their needs, right? What happens when we get all full of ourselves and we get everything that we need sometimes? Who do we often forget? God. Until we run out again. And then we're back to God. That's sometimes the human nature. That's what we see happened in the book of Judges. So there actually was a famine at that time. So, he took his wife and two sons and went to live in the country of Moab. Now, Moab was a little bit worse than Bethlehem in terms of the fact that it was a pagan nation. And I don't want to go into all the gory details, but it was awful things that they did. Especially, never mind. So, point being, they were worse than the people that lived in Bethlehem. So you got really bad people hanging around in these two places, right? What do they all need? I'll say. Okay. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. So what we know about them is that one time, and we know that they were followed the God of Israel, that they had believed in God, and that's who they continued to follow. And then they moved to Moab, into the pagan nation. And so they, during their stay, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other named Ruth. So what these Israelite people do, they married two Moabite women. Now, I want you to understand something about the Israelites and the Moabites at the time. They hated each other. Not like we see anywhere today ever at all. So needless to say, they marry these women. And so 10 years later, Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her husband or sons. So what we see transpire is these two men die. Naomi's left without her sons. And all that's left is Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. That's who's left behind. Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. Isn't it just like God? That even though people are sinful over here and they're not following him, they're running out of food, isn't it just like God to bring food again? That's the kind of merciful God we have. Even when we do the worst possible things, there's always mercy, there's always grace, and there's always God finding a way to continue to feed us and draw us back to him and meet our needs, despite what we deserve or don't deserve. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve all the time? Hey, well, loud amen on that one. Yes. I love mercy and I love grace. Yes, I do. Psalm 147 refers to this, by the way. It speaks about how God would provide bread all the time for people. Just so you know, there's always a connection, spiritually speaking. So, Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living. They took the road that would lead them back to Judah. Long trip they're going on. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's home instead of coming with me. And may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husband and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. So Naomi's realizing, you two girls, go ahead, go back to Judah, go back to where you're going. And we're going to part ways. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." So what we see transpire, instead of going back to Moab, they're deciding to go on with Naomi to where? Bethlehem, Judah, the land of Judah. Bethlehem, it's kind of a name we kind of know from something. Okay. But Naomi replied, "Why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who can grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if that were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what?" What did Naomi think she's only good for? Giving some, you know, bearing sons to give to these women. She had nothing to offer them, she thought. Sometimes we don't think we have anything to offer anybody based on what we've always done and been, right? When sometimes life changes and we're doing one thing over here and suddenly that's no longer the thing we're doing, we think we have no purpose anymore, right? We have a role over here and that role's not going to be anymore and we don't know what to do with ourselves sometimes. Is that right? Are we ever without a purpose? Ever, ever, ever? Okay. Beautiful. Because you're in it for the long haul anyway, right? Absolutely. Okay. All right. And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi. "See," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same," right? Her gods. Go back to those pagan gods that you had. That's what Orpah's doing. You see the difference between Orpah and Ruth? There's always a difference in all of us where we choose which path to take. Now, Orpah went back. Maybe it was for her, it was she had something that she needed there, so that's where she went. We're not here to judge her. All we're showing is there is a contrast between people sometimes, right? Because Ruth is Ruth, right? She's a friend. And she has compassion for the misery of others, including Naomi. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. I will go wherever you go and live wherever you live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." She's making a vow, right? Pledging an oath to this person. "I will die where you die and will be buried there. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Is that loyalty or what? "Till death do us part." This is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. One would not expect somebody to vow that kind of that loyalty to somebody else, would you? But she does, because she's Ruth. And we all want to be Ruthful, right? So the two continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was stirred by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" And then Naomi says, "Don't call me that," which means pleasant. "Instead, call me Mara," which is bitter. "For the Almighty has made my life bitter for me." She lost her sons, right? She lost her future of grandchildren and so forth. She had become bitter, went from pleasant to bitter. And the word Mara, it actually comes from the Old Testament when we read in the book of Exodus, where the time when the water had turned bitter, right? It was called Mara, bitter. And what does Moses do? He picks up a stick and throws it into the water, and it goes from bitter to sweet. Bitter to sweet. What's going to happen to Naomi, do you think? Even though right here, right now, because of her loss, because of her grief, because of the future she thought she was supposed to have has disappeared on her. She has no conception of what the future holds for her. She has become bitter in her sorrow and in her grief, hasn't she? But what do we know God always does when there's something bitter that happens in our life, all of our lives? What follows bitter? Sweet. Sweet. That's where bittersweet chocolate came from. But she says to the people, call me bitter. The Lord has done terrible things to me. You see, the same God that Ruth is going to go follow, Unfortunately for Naomi right now, she's upset with God, right? You ever been upset with God over things that have happened? Of course, all of us have, right? We can become bitter, can't we, as Naomi did. Become a Mara. Until what happens? God steps in, right? God steps in, just like he stepped in for Moses and that bitter water. And God steps in, and suddenly that bitterness we often feel, God sends a person very often to bring some sweetness into our life, to add some sugar and add some honey and add some hope and add some peace and add some comfort and add some compassion, because we care about the misery of others. We step in and we say, I'm going to help you from your bitterness, help your life become sweet again. That's what Ruth is all about, is it not? That's who Jesus Christ is all about, right? He takes what was bitter, and he takes what's bitter in us, those things in us that sometimes that have plagued us that we can't seem to get over, and we continue to, we can lose our faith, we can lose our hope, we can lose our sense of purpose if we stay in bitterness. But God doesn't leave us in bitterness, does he ever? Sweetness comes. When? I don't know. But it always does. Will it always come instantaneously? Are you going to go from pain to pleasure just like that? Of course not. There's a process along. That's why this Bible, this particular scriptures have four chapters to it. But I do know this. God has a plan. God has a way out. God has a way of turning every life circumstance from bitter, from awful, from sad, from depression, to glory and happiness and joy and peace again. God does that all the time. Always. Never stops. Why? Because God is Ruth. He has compassion for anyone who feels that they're finding themselves in misery. But God also uses people like us to be the sweetness in their life, to walk them with that through that, right? We notice that Orpah went back to her town, but Ruth stuck right beside Naomi. Can you imagine being around a bitter mother-in-law? Yeah, oh, whoops. I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone. The problem is we don't worry about the fact that they're bitter, do we? We can't dwell on that, can we? You can't get bitter with them, can you? See, you have to be the sweetness. So you're the sweetness to somebody's bitterness. And then you become bittersweet chocolate together. Yum. Back on that chocolate again. I got to watch this diet. So they go back, and here's what transpires. Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. At the beginning of the harvest. See, they were coming and they were running away from a lot of things, were they not? Famine. That's the reason they were even leaving and why their husband had left, right? They left the famine to go find food. They go to Bethlehem, which is really a city in darkness right now because of the sinfulness that's going on around there. But in the midst of even that, there are some good people there. In fact, when we see in the book of Isaiah, the people that have seen are living in darkness will see a great light. Merry Christmas. But do you see the connection? Who's the light in the story? Ruth is the light in this particular story, right? Jesus says later. You may or may not already know that Ruth was the great grandmother of Jesus. You'll see her in Matthew later. What a lineage, right? A Moabite woman. Someone people hated. Someone no one cared about. But she cared about others. And throughout the rest of the scriptures that we read about in this story, Ruth goes out and gleans, which we heard about in the book of Deuteronomy earlier today about her offering. She goes and gets the leftovers so she can feed Naomi. She works hard through the day and night. And Boaz is there. Turns out he's a relative of Naomi, and eventually he redeems all of them, right? When you get to the book, the end of the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Their life changed dramatically from that point on. Boaz marries Ruth, and the story has a happy ending. Ta-da! But what's the point of all this? Ruth was willing to go and walk with someone who lost everything. She was there to be loyal, compassionate, selfless, work hard, give of her time, energy, and efforts to love another human being who, at the moment, wasn't the best frame of mind person. Naomi could have been called Negative Nancy during this time. And I don't know about you, but you love to volunteer to help the negative Nancys in your life, right? Unless you're ruthless. So, what I want to teach us all this morning is what we can learn from this in all the areas of all of our lives. At one time or another, all of us are going to be Naomi or Mara or Ruth. Many of us have gone through some things, and we can become bitter over those things. And we can blame God for it and be upset with God. But God, I pray, is going to put another person in your life like Ruth, a loyal friend, someone who has compassion for your misery, and they walk into your life and open the door of light, hope, and joy again. And if nothing else, they just stick it out with you and go as far as you will allow them to continue to go with them. In this disposable life that all of us live in, it's so easy to unfriend anybody with the push of a button these days. It's so easy to end relationships for the least little thing that goes wrong in them. And if you're anybody like me who has faults, you're probably someone that can drive somebody right up the wall, back down again, out the door, around the corner, up the street, back around the corner, up the wall, over the corner, down on the road, and ta-da, there you are. It's me, I'm back. We all need Ruths in our life, don't we? We all need to be people who will go with people the long way through. Most of us, and many of us, become very uncomfortable when people go through loss or grief or change or they show their up, down, and all around things that they've got going on in their life because they're imperfect. But just like Ruth and just like Jesus Christ, who never leaves us or forsakes us, loves us unconditionally, all of us need to find a way to be like Ruth, to be there with people for the long haul. So sometimes we're the ones that need a person walk alongside of us to be loyal and compassionate towards us. But I promise you this, there'll be a day when that will also change, when the other person becomes the one that needs you to walk alongside of them for the long haul. So my question today is to all of us here at this particular church, are you ready to be ruthful? Are you in it for the long haul? Are you going to love God no matter what happens up, down, or all around? You're going to continue to serve God no matter what? You're going to be a light in the darkness? Said it. And I actually believe and know and trust that most of you are those people. Why I know you're those people is I see you here. And I see you serving. I've seen you serve. Even this last year of waiting, you did what you could in terms of prayer and loving and caring and donating and giving of yourselves. That's what I guess sets this church apart. We are the Church of Bethlehem. Many of us have been in the darkness, but we've seen a great light. We love the fact that we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ and forgiven. And we also know that we're also people from time to time that have been in emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual need. And we're all so grateful that we have a Savior who walks up beside us and is our constant, compassionate friend who cares about our misery. And that's also exhibited through the people here. When you walk alongside someone for the long haul, not stopping halfway, not stopping when you're tired, not just thinking about yourself, that's how you show others what really being a follower of Christ is all about. So let the ruthless people be ruthless. We're going to be ruthful. We're going to care and be compassionate and understand the misery of others. And watch and see what God does in the process of that. God had a big plan for Ruth, and it certainly wasn't just to find a husband. It was to show the beautiful example of what it's like to be like Jesus Christ. That's how she could be the ancestor of Christ, because she was just like him. His genes came from her because she found the God that we all pray you also find. The God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, and the God of giving and caring. So you're in it for the long haul? Amen.